Our scripture reading for this evening is going to be from Numbers 22. Numbers 22, and starting off in verse 20. And God came to Balaam at the night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab.
Good evening. Wonderful to see everybody out. It's been a beautiful day. I hope you've had a wonderful afternoon. And I am very grateful that you are here with us to worship this evening. I came up with a little bit of a philosophy, a rule of thumb, in thinking about this lesson this evening. All stories are more interesting when you add a talking donkey. The Shrek franchise is one example. This story that we're going to study tonight is, of course, known for the talking donkey with Balaam. So I wanted to, in Numbers 22, just kind of spend a few minutes paraphrasing, not to read the whole chapter, but to kind of bring us up to the events, and then to kind of examine them and in light of what we know of Balaam. And then there's an application that I hope we can make as we go through the lesson, especially towards the end. So if you want to be in Numbers chapter 22, that's where we'll spend a lot of our time this evening. To kind of set it up, there was a king of the Moabites named Balak. And he observed from Moab the people of Israel who were gathering nearby and were very large in number. And he was threatened by that, by their large numbers. And it says he was so concerned that he kind of became sick. And he said he was afraid they would lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And so Balak was so kind of, you know, focused on that and concerned that he sent for a man named Balaam, who was known for being something of a prophet. Balaam was not an Israelite, but as we'll see in this story, it's interesting. I don't really know what exactly his relationship was with the one true God, but we do know in Numbers 22 we see that he does speak with God. God speaks with him. And this would kind of be our first point tonight. Balaam was again, not to spoil the ending. He had some trouble seeing clearly. And in a way, he was kind of blind, and there were things that he was missing. And I think a lot of that was because of greed. Balaam is mentioned several times in the New Testament. I wanted to read a few of those passages. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter writes, "Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness." Elsewhere in Jude, verse 10, "But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain, and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion." And finally, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So here we see some references to Balaam, and they're not altogether flattering. He loved gain from wrongdoing. And we see apparently greed was among those. He put a stumbling block or told Balak to put a stumbling block in front of the people of Israel. So I don't know exactly what his thoughts would have been and what his relationship with God was, other than what the scriptures tell us, of course. But I do know that he had a reputation as being one who could prophesy, who could know things. Balak believed that whoever Balaam blessed would be blessed, and whoever Balaam cursed would be cursed. And so Balak, the king of the Moabites, sent messengers to Balaam and said, here's some money. We would like you to come and to curse the people of Israel, because he was threatened by their growing numbers as they were encroaching on him. God tells Balaam that he was not to curse the people of Israel because they were blessed. Now, in a better situation, that would have been the end of the story. But we see the response of Balaam as he delivers this message to the representatives of Balak in Numbers 22, verse 13. So Balaam rose early in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." And again, maybe on the surface we would look at that and not think much of it, but knowing how the story will go and the references that we read to Balaam in the New Testament about loving gain from wrongdoing, you can kind of see maybe a little bit of that attitude in his response. It reminds me a little bit of like sometimes when you were kids and your parents would, your friends would say like, "Hey, come on, let's go outside, let's go over here, let's come to my house, whatever." And you talk to your parents, they say no, and then you come out and you say, "My mom said I can't go." And there's a real implication there that you wanted to go, that you wish you could, but you just weren't allowed to. And not to read too much into it, but when I see Balaam's response here, "The Lord has refused to let me go with you," it's maybe a little telling, especially as we kind of see what will happen later on. The messengers return to Balak and tell him that Balaam refused. Verse 15. "Once again, Balak sent princes more in number and more honorable than these. And they came to Balaam and said to him, 'Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me I will do. Come, curse this people for me.' But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. So you too, please stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me.' And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you.' So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab." Now, again, we have to kind of keep in context and maybe see a little deeper than maybe what may first appear on the surface. Balaam had gone to God with this question. And God said, "The people of Israel are to be blessed, not cursed." Then, a second time, more honorable people are bringing riches, and Balaam says, "Let me go to God again and ask." And we have young children. If they want something, it's very rare for them to ask once and take no for an answer. Usually it's over and over and over again. And I think especially when you're dealing with God, and he gives you a clear answer, I think we can trust God to know, you know, how he wants to answer that. And I'm going to guess that it was pretty clear that God did not want Balaam to go and receive payment to curse the people of Israel. But he goes again and asks. And then in verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now you may, again, like a cursory reading, you may say, well, didn't God tell him, if these men have come to call you, rise, go with them, then only do what I tell you. And then Balaam does it, and the Lord is angry with him. But, you know, again, I think we need to think about Balaam's heart. And even going to him again to ask, you know, oh, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of honor. You know, are you sure you don't want me to curse, you know, the people of Israel, God? It wasn't delivered with an obedient heart and a right spirit. And I think the Lord's, God's telling him, if they've come to you, rise and go with him. Maybe this is just me paraphrasing, but God's kind of saying, I told you what I wanted. I told you my answer. But if you're still so pulled away by this and by your greed, then I'm not going to stop you. Then, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing. Maybe that's not the way it was intended. But that was just my thoughts. As it, God isn't saying, yes, I am blessing you. Go and do this. He was saying, you're not listening to me. You know, if you're just going to do whatever you want, then, you know, do whatever you want. But again, that's my paraphrasing. Then in verse 23, so he goes out, Balaam, on his donkey. And in verse 23, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Now I wanted to kind of, you know, pause here. Three times we see the donkey saving Balaam's life, and Balaam lashing out at the donkey. And we started this section by thinking about, you know, Balaam, he was blind in a sense. There was something he was missing. There was something he wasn't seeing. His greed or whatever was going on in his heart was keeping him from seeing the truth and being obedient. And I just thought, you know, it's probably not a lot different than the way some of us are sometimes, where there's something we want, there's something we covet, there's a way in life that we think is best for us, and we talk ourselves into thinking that that's what God wants. And we kind of blind ourselves by our own desires. It might be in the pursuit of wealth, it might be prestige, it might be just a good life, recognition, stability, lust, pride, on and on. Things that we put so important in our lives that we kind of desire them so much that we talk ourselves into believing that's what God wants for us. And even, to continue the analogy, if anything gets in our way, we lash out at it. We kind of blame the messenger. Balaam starts striking the donkey when, of course, it was he that had the problem. And how many times have people maybe come to us with things we needed to hear and trying to get us to follow a path or to avoid destruction, and we may lash out at them. And I think that's a maybe, just in my opinion, a big reason we have a lot of false doctrines that take hold, not necessarily within the church, but just within Christianity, broadly speaking. People want something so much, their desire is so great, the lifestyle that they envision becomes so enticing that they go to the Word of God and twist it to fit what they want. Kind of like Balaam, taking the message of God and only hearing what he wanted to hear. God doesn't endorse our sinful lifestyles or, you know, our sinful choices any more than he was actually endorsing Balaam's decision to seek after riches by going to curse the people of Israel. And you kind of think of Balaam thinking, well, maybe God really does want me to be rich. Maybe he wants me to go and curse these people. Maybe it's okay with God. It sounds ridiculous when you say that, but there are so many examples today. You can go and find people preaching sinful things and lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God and saying that this is what God wants and twisting it to be that way. And maybe we kind of fool ourselves into thinking that way as well. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And that whole passage is striking, but I think especially that last phrase, to not only do them, but to give other people approval. To kind of, almost like giving them permission to indulge in a simple lifestyle. We live in an age of unprecedented communication. I mean, you can talk to anybody over the world. You can get almost any message you can imagine, you can go out there and find. And if there's, you know, a sin or a lifestyle or anything that you want to do, you can probably find somebody through the internet, online, who can twist the scripture to make you try to believe that it's righteousness and that it's okay with God. Now, there are many, many upsides to what we have today. I'm not saying it's not a blessing, but it's also an avenue for people to find false doctrines. And the way that they are spiritually blind, they can find a blind leader of the blind. They can find someone who will give that approval. And, you know, that's just really sad. That's something we have to pray about and fight against. And then to move on to the next topic, the next idea, Balaam's eyes were open. Back to Numbers 22, verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way? And he said, no. Now, if you ever find yourself in an argument with a donkey, you've made some poor choices. Especially if you're losing the argument. It's just, you know, it's so fascinating, you know, this response. And this is one of those things where I probably should just stop talking, but there's so many, like, questions I have about this, so much curiosity that we can't really know. You know, the donkey being able to reason, to, like, use reason against, you know, what the manner and what actually happened are mysteries, even though I'm really curious and there's some questions I'd like to answer. I can't answer them. So, however God worked this, the donkey speaks to him and says, and reasons with him and says, you know, basically, don't you think something's up? Like, is this the way I normally act? And you're ready to kill me over this? So let's go to verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live." I kind of get chills thinking about that. And again, if I apply it to myself, how many times in life have things happened that weren't the way I wanted, or I was chasing something that maybe I shouldn't have been chasing, or desiring something that I should have been desiring, and maybe I was lashing out and I was angry at people or at life or at myself or whatever it was, and I was taking it out on these other things when me even pursuing it was a problem to start with. And if I had been obedient and trusting in God, maybe I wouldn't have had all those issues and probably directed my thoughts in ways that they shouldn't have gone. God opened his eyes, Balaam, and he could see that he was the one who was in it. And the thing that he was lashing out against was what was keeping him safe. I think that is something we all need and something we should all pray for. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." I pray for wisdom to be able to see clearly and to be able to seek after the righteousness of God and not the things that are temptations being put in my way. So Balak receives Balaam, and, you know, Balaam does say, "I'll do what God tells me." And he goes and he prophesies in front of the people, just to kind of summarize as we close. Balaam blesses Israel, does not curse them, which Balak was not very happy about, but he was kind of persistent. The king of the Moabites brought him out, you know, three times and said, you know, "Here." Maybe he was persistent, maybe he was desperate, but kept saying, you know, "Curse the people of Israel." And then in Balaam's final address, it's in Numbers 24. I'm going to begin in verse 15. So Balaam took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed, Seir also. His enemies shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly, and one from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of Sidon." Balak wanted to pay Balaam to come and prophesy and curse Israel. He delivers a curse, but it wasn't the one that Balak was seeking. It was for all the other nations and not Israel. And in fact, Balaam provides a prophecy about Israel of a star and a scepter that would arise. So, you know, through all this, this story that we see with Balaam, we come to a prophecy about Jesus, about the Messiah, about our Savior coming to save us from our sins. We need to trust in God, to be obedient to God, to pray for wisdom that we can see the way that we need to go. And that if there are things that are causing us not to see well, greed, anything else, I pray that we can have the wisdom to see through it and to trust in God and to not get to situations where we find ourselves so desperate that we're losing arguments to farm animals. I pray that we can avoid that problem. If Balaam had been obedient and listened to God from the start, he could have probably saved himself a lot of trouble and a lot of pain. We probably sometimes spend a lot of energy and are kind of stubborn in that way. So I pray for God's guidance and wisdom in seeing the way that I ought to go. And tonight, if you have never taken on Christ in baptism, if you wish to do that, to have your sins forgiven, we are ready to assist you in that. If you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we are waiting to help you with whatever you need if you come forward as we stand and sing.